This time, turning your Bibles now to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. We are walking through the Gospel here, and we are going to finish chapter 11 here with some fairly familiar words to us. And we know that these are words that God wants his people to hear, and so we need to pay careful attention to these words. Chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Hear these words, follow along with me. This is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Since the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing unto it. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage together. If someone wants to take some notes, I'll try to help you out with that. There's a lot of things in this passage. There's no doubt about that. And so let's go to our Lord and ask for his blessings through prayer that he would enlighten us. Bow before you, acknowledge your sovereignty, we acknowledge your goodness, acknowledge your grace. Lord, may you use the words of Matthew to shine in our hearts. We may hear it and receive it and apply it. Call us to yourself. Change us, we pray. In Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus gives us a wonderful invitation here to come and find rest for those who are weary. For those who are who have labored and are heavy laden. Now, when he talks about giving rest to the weary, he's not talking about just simply those who are tired. Most of us here, most of us likely stayed up last night, probably a little later we should have, and we're a little tired today. But that's not at all what he's talking about. We're about being weary. It's not simply a lack of sleep. It's not simply I'm working really hard. I'm just really busy. Jesus here is talking about those who are spiritually weary, who are spiritually restless. And as we come and approach this passage, we look at our own lives and we go, you know, I'm facing some of that. I'm involved in some spiritual weariness, some spiritual restlessness. I'm struggling in my relationships. I'm worried about my health. I'm stressed over my job and whether or not it's even going to exist tomorrow. And as a result, that's the reason why I'm tired. That's the reason why I'm distracted. That's the reason why I feel like I have this backpack of burden on me, as it's off, as Christian does in Pilgrim's Progress. So Jesus' words, we're here this morning and sensing that and feeling that. These are words for us today. They're words for us every day, but these are words that we can look at and apply and rejoice in them. Now, Jesus here in chapter 11, as he concludes this with this invitation here at the end of chapter 11, we're reminded of what has transpired thus far in chapter 11. Jesus has taught us that there are true believers that sometimes can doubt and sometimes struggle, like John the Baptist. There are those who are blind to God's truth, as he mentions in verses 7 through 19. There are those who are apathetic and just don't care. And so, like those cities to which Jesus refers to in the previous passages, to Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. They had the gospel, but they didn't care. They didn't respond. They didn't repent. And so the pagan cities like Tyre and Sidon, even Sodom, would have reacted differently if they were given those same circumstances. But now Jesus goes from that and he gives those words of encouragement, words of comfort, words in which we could say, I need to hear this. So when I'm down, when I'm struggling, when I'm just simply living a life that's more like the pagan cities than what those who have heard it, when I'm struggling and saying the words of repentance, when I'm thinking that everything is good and I don't really need to do that, these words are for us. They give us comfort, they give us hope when we're spiritually burdened, when we're spiritually weary. Jesus says we can find rest. We can find rest. So there's a lot of ways to approach this text, but I wanted to consider three ways in which we can find rest in this passage. Three ways we can find rest. Let me give you the first one here. First point is this. The first way we can find rest for when we're spiritually weary, when we're spiritually exhausted, is to praise God the Father. Praise God the Father. We look at that in verses 25 and 26. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. We can find rest by praising God the Father. Now, when we're spiritually weary, when we're spiritually struggling, that's not usually the place we want to go to right away. Let's admit it. When there are times when we're struggling, we go, you know, I really don't want to go to church. I don't want to have to explain my situation to all these people again. I don't want to have to sing praises when I really don't really mean it. I'm really struggling to even say them. I don't really offer prayers because I feel like they're so hollow and so empty. I don't want to study the Word of God because, you know what? I'm just so distracted by this. God, Jesus says, you will find rest for your souls when you praise your Father in heaven. Notice what Jesus does here. At that time, now, at that time suggests it could be right after he said this. It could be around this time. Let's not get bogged down with the details. We're not sure exactly if this is uttered immediately after these woes, but in Matthew's gospel, it's put here for a very good reason. To find that rest. And so what does Jesus say? I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I thank you. I praise you. I give you thanksgiving because of you, Lord, because of who you are. You are my heavenly Father. You've called us your children. It's very interesting. In Luke chapter 10, these same verses are found in Luke chapter 10. And the disciples have just returned from preaching the villages. The disciples are like, hey, Jesus, let me tell you what's going on. There are people who are responding. There are some people that aren't, but there are people who are responding. Things are happening. Yeah, there are those who are rejecting the message. There's all those rejecting the miracles. But things are happening. And Jesus here, then we get the sense there. Jesus then lifts up this prayer of praise. Jesus, if we take these words to be exactly after the woes, humanly speaking, because it's hard to know the mind of, hard to know exactly the intricate mind of Christ being fully God and fully man. But humanly speaking, we could see where Jesus would get a little frustrated. We could see where Jesus could be a little downcast about what's going on. There are people who are rejecting. As he's just said, it's better for those in Sodom than for you. We all know about Sodom. When we think of evil cities, Sodom makes Vegas and New Orleans look like a cakewalk. But Jesus doesn't. He gives this invitation, this one last invitation to those around him, those who've rejected, those who didn't want to repent, those who are apathetic, those who are doubting, those who are struggling, everything that's going on in chapter 11. And Jesus gives these tender
and these loving words. Much in the same way, if you read the Gospels regarding his interaction with the rich young ruler, it even states, and Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus gives these words of compassion to come and to find rest. Notice Jesus calls him Father. We're his children. We have this adoption. We can have confidence and know he loves us and cares for us. Notice then he says, not only are you Father, but you're, just to make sure, not only are you Father, but he also, Jesus calls him Lord of heaven and earth. Emphasizing that authority. And emphasizing that we can try to find rest in binge-watching Netflix, and we can try to find rest in simply getting ourselves distracted with all kinds of things. We can get an addiction. We can try to look for rest in somebody else, in some relationship, and find rest in our busyness. But Jesus says here to find rest in God the Father, to know that he is the Lord of heaven and earth. If you want to find rest, you go to him. Now is he your Father, but he's also sovereign. And he goes on, he says, you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. There's a couple sermon subjects right here in these verses. But let me just say here, if we want to find rest for our own souls, we go to God, we praise him. We praise him because, you know, he has revealed himself to us. He hasn't hidden it. And this touches on the subject of election. And trust me, we do a whole sermon series on the subject of election. But it says here, God has chosen to reveal to whom he wants to reveal, to conceal to whom he wants to conceal. And we might say, well, you know what? That's not really fair, is it, Lord? But this is according to his good pleasure. And we can praise him that he has chosen to give us the word. He has chosen to reveal us, to reveal Christ. He's given us his grace. And it's in that grace we find rest. It's in grace that we find that hope. It's in that grace that we find that, you know, I can truly find joy and peace and love in knowing God, knowing who he is, knowing that he's revealed himself to us. It's very interesting, the commentators say that when he's talking about the wise and understanding, he's talking about not just the Pharisees, but he's talking about those who are self-sufficient, those who think they've got everything in place, everything is under control. They're good. They're content with their religion. They're content with their practices. They don't see the need to repent. They don't see the need for rest. And notice Jesus, in comparison, says, but you reveal yourself to little children. This isn't the first time or the last time Jesus is going to refer to children and say, be like the little children. Childlike faith. Let the little children come unto me. And Jesus calls us his children. He's revealed himself. And we can call him Father. That's one of the joys that we have in being able to be his children. To call him our Heavenly Father. To pray our Father in heaven. To know we can find rest in him. We take comfort in his decrees and know and trust in his wisdom and believe in his faithfulness to us and know that his promises will come true. And we can praise him for all that. Because if we're not praising him, then we're likely moving towards pride. We're moving towards conceit. We're moving towards, you know what? I don't need God's mercy. I don't need God's rest. And the fact is, we all do. And it still happens today. There are people who trust in their intelligence. There are people who trust in their education. There are those that trust in so many other things. And those are the ones who reject Christ. Those are the ones who think that they're wise and understanding. And as we've read in Ephesians, they're the one that's dark. Their minds are darkened. They're the ones who are ignorant of the truth. I want to share three very brief quotes for you from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis writes this: God's children should have a child's heart and an adult's head. J.C. Ryle writes this: those to whom the gospel is revealed are generally humble, simple-minded, and willing to learn. Calvin himself said teachableness was the first step in spiritual life. And what do our children do? They're always learning. They're always learning. I mean, you think about what our children, what they learn from kindergarten and then what they learn from 12th grade. And to think in that span, what the vastness of what they're learning. And that's how we should be as God's children. Be ready and willing to learn. Say, Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me how to praise you. Teach me how to praise you for who you are. Teach me to praise you for what you've done. Reveal yourself to us. Guard my pride. Give me humility. Help me to know God's grace, to believe, to know his mercy, to find rest in him, to praise him for it. Well, it leads to a second point this morning. How do we find rest? Well, first thing we do, we praise God the Father. We turn to him and we praise him for the very fact he's revealed himself to us through his word, through his spirit, through his son, Jesus Christ. And that leads us to our second point. That is, the second thing we do to find rest is simply this. It's very basic. It's believe in the Son of God. Believe in God the Son. If we praise God the Father, we believe in God the Son. We believe in Christ. Look at verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. In this one sentence, Jesus gives us his credentials. Gives us reasons why we should be able to find rest in him. Reasons why we should come to him and put our trust in him. Notice he says, first of all things have been handed over me to the Father. He's talking about his authority. And what we're going to find in Matthew, as he ends Matthew, with his last words in Matthew 28, he's going to say this: all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This isn't something that just happened to be granted to him. It's not something he just suddenly goes, hey, I think today I'm going to get the God's authority. This is something from the very foundation of the world to the very end. God, Jesus, will have all authority. All things have been handed over to me by the Father. Second reason why we can rest in Jesus Christ is this, is that secondly, no one knows the Father and no one knows the Son except the Father. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, God knows me and I know him like no one else. There is an exclusive relationship there. Something nobody else has. Thirdly, he says, nor does anyone know the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. He has an understanding too. He's not just a Son of God, as the Jehovah's Witnesses will teach, but he is the Son of God. And his relationship is much deeper than Enoch, who walked with God. It's much deeper and greater than Adam, who was in the garden. It's much greater than Elijah, as God's prophet. It's much greater than Abraham. It's much greater than David. It's much greater than any of the disciples. It's much greater than any relationship we could ever desire from between us and the Father. Is Christ has that exclusive relationship. Rest in him. If we don't know, if we struggle to praise God the Father, well, we need to know Christ. And that should help us in understanding and praising God more. And finally, he says this. And no one knows Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. If you have your Bibles, if you have your own personal Bible, that right there means Jesus saves. Anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That's Jesus revealing his salvation. Some of us are very spiritually weary. Some of us are longing to rest. And we're trying to find it in so many other things. And we're failing to see it's in Christ. And for some of us, we know this, but you know, we often get distracted by other things. The compass isn't always pointing north. Sometimes we're veering a little off this way. Jesus says, believe in me. Trust in me. If you want to know God, if you want to know the Father, if you want to know how to praise Him, you want to know how to give thanks to Him, Jesus says, come to me. Believe in me. But we often find ourselves in rebellion. We often find ourselves to have that natural tendency to hate God and our neighbor. We often struggle with hateful thoughts. We're dealing with selfishness. We're dealing with pride. We're dealing with foolish desires. And yet Jesus says, believe in me. Trust in me. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. God's not calling us to be wise. God's not calling us to be understanding. God is calling us to be faithful. And to be ready to learn, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. And Jesus makes a very important distinction here. There are those who are wise in their own eyes, and there are those who humble themselves and embrace God in faith. There are those that are hard-hearted in their own sins, and there are those in whom God has softened that heart and given a heart of flesh, as Ezekiel states. Believe in the Son of God. And there you'll find rest. It leads to one last point. As I said, consider this could be a sermon all on its own, these verses, but that is in verses 28 through 30. How do we find rest? Well, this is where Jesus talks about faith. Where Jesus talks about responding in faith to the invitation offered. That's our third point. Respond to the invitation offered. Do it in faith. He promises real faith, true faith, or true rest, spiritual rest. He calls those who are heavy laden. Look at these verses with me again. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus didn't say, go to your church and you'll find rest. Jesus doesn't say, go to your books and find rest. Go to your intellect and find rest. Reason, that's what we're going to do. That's where we're going to find rest. Jesus doesn't say there. Jesus says, come to me. Put your faith in me. Here, I'm calling you. Respond in faith. Know that there's hope with me, that you can find mercy in me. You will find grace in me. You will find rest in me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. We're talking about spiritual rest and spiritual weariness, spiritual situations. What amazing counsel. Go to Christ. Trust in Him. Notice also He says, He promises blessings. I'll give you rest. You don't have to worry about sin. You don't have to worry about hell and judgment and condemnation. You don't have to worry about the guilt. You don't have to worry about the terror. You can have peace of conscience. You can know the promises. You can know the power that Jesus has over sin. You can know the sense of God's love as He sends Christ on our behalf. And you can know the rest there. Jesus says, come to me, all who weary and all who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. But then notice in verse 29, Jesus says, look, come to Christ, respond in faith. But notice there's in verse 29, there's a sense of not just responding and saying, okay, I've responded, it's good enough. But now Jesus says, serve. And when we see the word yoke there, it reminded Israel of their bondage. It reminded Israel of their service to a master. It sometimes had negative connotations of like Egypt or Babylon, but in this case, it was to serve. take my yoke upon you. Now, we can stop right here and say, wait a minute. I am weary. I'm spiritually weary. I'm spiritually burdened. You're telling me to put a yoke on? That doesn't seem to work. That seems like it's a bigger burden. It seems like the Sabbath day would become a burden, not a joy. It seems like to follow the commandments would be pressing me down. What do you mean, a yoke? Jesus says, we need to recognize whose yoke this is. He says, take my yoke. And notice how he describes it in verse 30. It's easy. My burden's light. It's Christ's yoke. And you know, we talk about those who are gentle and lowly in heart. He says, Jesus says, I learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And here he was rich and became poor for our sakes. That though he was the form of God, he made himself into nothing and taking on the form of a servant. That for our sake, he who had no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. His yoke isn't one that crushes. His yoke isn't one that is burdensome. His yoke is one that gives rest. Gives rest for our souls. And so the more we learn of his grace, the more that we walk with him, the more we commune with him, the more rest we find. Because then we come to him with our sin and our guilt. We claim nothing for ourselves and we call upon his mercy. And this doesn't mean that we don't do anything. It just means we serve him. That we his yoke is just the right kind of yoke. It's not one that's so burdensome. It's not one that just isn't there. It's one that's... light.
ask these